It's HPR, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Leap of Faith is the new solo album out now from Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member Timothy B. Schmidt of legendary rock group The Eagles, and prior to that, Poco. The record evokes some of the flavors and instrumentation of both bands, as well as Timothy's other releases. And the bassist, singer-songwriter is our very special guest today to talk about it. Thanks for taking some time for us, Timothy.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Before we get into what seem like some obvious Hawaii connections on the record, Leap of Faith really has got a sound that fans of Poco and the Eagles will likely find pretty warm and familiar, soulful, countrified, nostalgic, retro in spots. Based on the time between this and the Expando, what is your writing and recording process like?
Well, it seems to be pretty slow. But it was interrupted quite a lot over the last few years because I was touring a lot. I was touring with the Eagles. I would try and write and or record in between touring legs. I find it pretty hard to write on the road, although I started towards the end of our last tour. There was always a couple of hours between mealtime and showtime where I found myself not knowing what to do with myself at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of said, duh, get a guitar in here and do some work.
So
I actually started to do that.
There were a couple things about this record. And Red Dirt Road, it's one of these catchy songs. First time I heard it, didn't get the hook, maybe second time. But then third, fourth time, all of a sudden, things got its claws in you. And from there, it's just such an infectious jam. Doobie Brothers, John McPhee, that must be him on the fiddle on that, yeah?
It is, yes.
Even though it has this Appalachia feel, feels like you're in some mountainous southern part of the United States, from what I've read, and forgive me if it's totally wrong, it evokes images from Kauai instead.
It does. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Honolulu.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, my wife and I have been going to Kauai. Well, I've been to a lot of the other islands, too, but we mainly go to Kauai. We've been doing it for years. We started going before we were even married. We would stay with Graham Nash and his wife at the time. And then we had kids of our own, and we started vacationing there because we started to develop friendships there with other people other than the Nashes. And then we ended up purchasing a house there. So, yeah, that picture in the middle of the album is pretty much my backyard.
Nice backyard.
Yeah.
And so obviously there is a very strong connection to the islands.
Pretty nice there.
It certainly is. I'm assuming the song The Island references to trade winds, island gratitude. I've got to believe that also draws inspiration from your time on the Garden Isle.
Totally, completely. Yeah.
And is that vibraphone?
Oh, yeah. That's famous vibe player Gary Burton.
You got Gary on there.
Yeah, jazz player. I got a hold of him for my previous album.
Expando, correct.
And I said, I know that you're a jazzer and I admire your work. I actually listen to quite a lot of jazz. I got a hold of him through a mutual friend. Started talking with him. So he's been at my house two or three times now at my studio, which is at my house. What can I say? Watching a master at work. I thought it was perfect for that song.
Gives it such a nice feel. That's one of the great things about this record, whether it's hearing some Hammond and some Leslie, this nostalgic quality, some of the instrumentation kind of reminded me of the latest Ricky Lee Jones record in some ways.
Oh, really? Well, I haven't heard that record, but that's already a compliment.
And just kind of illustrating the way that musical brands and styles are connected, we just had the Outlaws on, Henry Paul of the Outlaws. And he's talking about their new record, Legacy Live. And when I was asking him about some of his influences when it came to both the influences of the band as well as the approach to mixing the record, he credited the two bands that you're most associated with, both Poco and the Eagles.
Poco did shows with them, I think several times, yeah. I remember Henry.
It's cool how it all connects.
Nice that he said those things.
And I guess on yourself, what was it that got you first into music?
I don't know. I'm sure for one thing that my dad was a full-time musician. That's what he did. I mean, we traveled with him for a while, my whole family, and living in a trailer house, we played club to club. So I know that that was, I didn't get to stay up late. I was just a little boy, but I sometimes would go early on and I would watch like their first sets and stuff. So that was definitely an influence. Almost everybody's drawn to music, but I really liked it. I discovered when I was in grade school, they called it chorus, which was really like a soprano part and alto part, just like two parts that I knew how to do it. Nobody had to teach me how to do it. I just knew how to do it. Not that I didn't learn a whole lot more, but I guess I was always pretty musical. And I think everything I heard from the radio, from the stuff my parents listened to, which was more like 40s, early 50s, not rock and roll yet, been into rock and roll. When I first heard Elvis and those old doo-wop songs, I just like, wow, you know, this is so cool. I played all kinds of instruments when I was little. I started off on the violin. I played the trombone. I first went on stage as a tap dancer. I was just kind of always into it, you know.
That's a real eclectic mix. And how about the sound of Poco? What was the intention?
Well, I actually went and tried and auditioned for Poco a couple of times, but they ended up taking somebody else at first.
Right.
Who was Randy Meisner.
Randy Meisner, who would also go on to be in the Eagles like you.
But I did get to be a part of singing with them even before they said no and then came back and said yes. The idea was to be a vocal band, to have different lead singers and to have harmonies where the lead singer didn't necessarily stand out, but that everybody sort of had an equal share of the sound. And I think that's more or less what it was. And, of course, it was country rock tinged.
And it's been this flavor that's why I said in introducing you that I think when people hear this record, it's going to be obvious to them that Leap of Faith is, no pun intended, faithful to this journey that you've been on. And what you were just describing about the way that Poco sounded, was that sort of how the Eagles came to bring you into the fold? Can you remember how it was that you made that transition when the opportunity came and maybe tell a story that goes along with it?
Well, Glenn and J.D. Souther, who co-wrote a lot of the Eagles songs, they used to be in a duo. They had a record deal. They were called Long Branch Penny Whistle. I met Glenn when those two opened up some Poco shows at the Troubadour in L.A. And they were both singer-songwriters, and I was in Poco. And so that's when I first got introduced to Glenn. Later on, after Poco had been going for quite a while, a couple of years before the Eagles formed, I played bass on a Linda Ronstadt track where Glenn and Don were there too. So that was the first time we actually played music together. And then a few years later, after me and the other Poco guys just watched the phenomena of the Eagles, no pun intended, soaring past us, being all over the radio, after a while I got pretty disenchanted, not because of the Eagles, but because Poco started to sort of flatline as far as popularity went. And just about the time I was sort of majorly being disenchanted with Poco, I was actually starting to keep my eyes open about other possibilities, at least sort of in a vague way anyway. That's when I got the call from Glenn. They told me Randy was quitting and was I interested in. It was really a no-brainer.
And it's powerful because the record is dedicated to him too, little nickname, Roach.
Yeah.
It's powerful just to hear that it kind of comes full circle in your life. When I was a little boy, that was my mom's favorite band was the Eagles. When you think of Glenn, a fun story, a memory together that just embodies the spirit of perhaps your relationship or of what you think he brought to this world.
Well, Glenn was a major alpha dog. He was very intense in a lot of different ways, including his humor, and that's the part that was really infectious. I used to even say it on stage when I introduced him, a man with a thousand jokes. When he thought something was funny or cracked a funny joke or whatever, he would just belly laugh almost until he started coughing. He could really get into it. He was, like I said, he was very intense in probably every direction and every mood, but he was very infectious with his humor and his laughter. I think that's what I like to think about most.
Did he give you the nickname Woodstock?
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah.
It's very cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing memories. Sometime when you're on the islands, maybe you'll come to Honolulu. We do a thing with you here. Leap of Faith is the record. And I hope you've enjoyed talking today, Timothy.
I really have. Thanks so much. Hi, this is Timothy B. Schmidt, and you're listening to my good friend Dave Lawrence.
It's only right that we persevere.